What's happening? I appreciate the love. Thank you for having me on. And I 1,000% would have been there, except I do get up Monday through Friday, as well as Jalen and Jacoby, and wasn't able to shake loose. But anytime I can be down on King and Queen Street, trust me, count me in.
Well, I was going to ask you that, man. I mean,
you've got to ask him that. It's because everybody claims they love Toronto. They love coming to visit here, but they never want to sign here. Could this change in the next little while here, Jalen?
I think it started to change once Masai Ujiri became the president of the organization. He's created a culture of not only winning basketball on the floor, but an atmosphere that has been conducive to success over the past few seasons. I appreciate what you guys have done, what the team has done as it relates to allowing Drake to be an ambassador at the games, giving him a locker in the with the team, allowing him to design uniforms, like all of these forward-thinking ideas, having a DJ in the arena during the basketball games, having fans outside of the arena during playoff games. These are all unique and special things to Toronto.
So what does that mean, though, for a player? I mean, if you were still playing and you were in this position and you were at the Raptors, okay, all that kind of stuff is a part of the program now, but I would think being 20-5, that's got to be the most captivating part of this, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the reality of it is it's professional basketball, so people are going to follow the money, and then they're going to follow success. And Toronto has been able to embody that over the past couple of seasons. Now that LeBron is out of the Eastern Conference, maybe shatter the glass ceiling and get to the finals.
With Jalen Rose, you mentioned Masai and what he's brought to the table. Kyle Lowry had a sit-down with Rachel Nichols of ESPN, and it's up on the website. I think it's on the show today, and it's really made some big waves up here because he was asked about the relationship, and he gave a pretty cold answer. He just said, Masai's the president of basketball operations, I'm a player, and that's about it. What do you make of that answer, and how do you feel about Kyle going public with their relationship and kind of coming off as cold as he did?
I didn't like it. I felt like it was unnecessary. Kyle has done a terrific job this year leading the league in assists. His efficiency, in particular in that category, has been awesome. And I know it hurts not only when you get traded, but I've been traded a couple of times, but also when one of your good friends, in this case, DeMar DeRozan, gets moved. Somebody that's probably the second most accomplished Raptor in the history of the franchise other than Vince Carter. And I know that there was a situation where Masai was talking to DeMar and he let him know the plan was not to move him. But also a level of respect and maturity has to be afforded to Masai in giving him the opportunity to do his job in a quality fashion. He's remade the roster. If you ask the average NBA fan who the head coach of the best team in basketball is, they wouldn't know who Nick Nurse was. They wouldn't know Pascal Siakam just won Eastern Conference Player of the Week a couple of weeks ago. OG Anunoby is doing a really good job of finding his game out of Indiana. Serge Ibaka playing small ball center. So, like, all of the moves that Masai has made to the benefit of the basketball team has actually worked, including giving Kyle Lowry a big-time contract to play basketball. And so once that happens, you have to understand, if the team has to let Dwayne Casey go, if the team has to let DeMar DeRozan go, it's more of the business than it is personal. So now when you give that answer, you bring us all into to try to fracture a successful situation for Lowry, who's found nothing but success in Toronto. Like, he was a player that showed potential in other stops before he got to Toronto. But once that happened, Masai's leadership helped make it a home to the point where he can almost get a maximum contract. So you would think with all of those bases being covered, you can find a way to have a level of respect and or appreciation for somebody that's done so much for the team, which you benefited from.
I don't know about you, but I had good friends playing sports. You get rid of one to bring a top-end player to my team, See you on vacation. I can't wait to see you on vacation. I am thrilled that I got a better chance to win.
I hear you,
I know,
man.
It's like it's heartstrings, it's friendship, but I'm like...
Honestly, I think it's deeper than that, and I'd love to get your take on this, Jalen.
How deeper can it get?
I'll tell you how deep I think it went. I think Kyle knows when Masai first got here, he wanted to trade Kyle. He had a deal with the Knicks, and the Knicks said no.
Right.
And I think there's a part of Lowry that understands if DeRozan for Kawhi didn't happen, there's a chance it was going to be Lowry for somebody else. Someone was going. It happened to be DeRozan. But it wasn't just going to be Casey. I think one of those two guys was going. And I think Kyle probably knows, okay, it worked out that it was DeMar, but if it wasn't him, Masai was going to trade me.
So what you're alluding to is correct for the most part. And I want to unpack it just a little bit. So here's what happened. You get to the playoffs the last few years, and the all-star level that Kyle plays at in the regular season, he hasn't necessarily played that in the playoffs. For DeMar ending last year, in particular the final game, he and Dwayne Casey weren't seeing eye to eye to the point where he didn't finish the game. So if I'm leading the team, you can't bring back Casey and or DeMar because they showed you on the floor they weren't seeing eye to eye. So when you come into the offseason, you have a backcourt that you're paying $250 million to play basketball that isn't able to accomplish your goals. So what you now do is you receive calls and or give phone calls around the league to see which one has more value. That's exactly what's happening with Washington right now. They're on the phone and they're saying, what can we get for John Wall? What can we get for Bradley Beal? That was the position Masai was in. DeMar, 25-point scorer, clearly had more upside. Respectfully, if they were on the phone trying to trade Kyle, I don't think there were many, if any, suitors for him based on his number. So if you're going to move somebody, it had to be DeMar. This allowed Kyle to still get his money, be the starting point guard on a better basketball team, lead the league in assists. So as those dominoes fall and you benefit, you hope there's a level of respect, professionalism that comes with Masai Ujiri's name that was not stated in the interview with Rachel.
With Jalen Rose here on Overdrive, it's Raptors Sixers tonight. The whole city's really supported Kawhi. Everyone's rocking New Balance from head to toe. They love him. And he's showed up, and he's played well, and he's quiet, and he's sticking to his way. No one can get a read on this guy. But through, you know, 25 games, how do you feel about Kawhi and how he's fit in here in Toronto?
Amazing, terrific, fantastic. I mean, the goal is to win, and you have one of the top players in the game. And here's another thing that Masai did that was brilliant, in my opinion. Say, for example, Kawhi decides to leave at the end of this year. You control his fifth year. That now puts you in a position to actually sign and trade him. So you get to parlay DeMar, you don't, without paying him his $20+ million, not necessarily pay Dwayne Casey his $7 million. If Kawhi leaves, you hope to sign and trade for him. If you're not able to do that and he just walks, then you get a chance to actually rebuild your roster, which the team needed anyway because it got stale because it didn't reach its goals. So for Kawhi, still playing at an elite level, he only played 9 games last year. So finding his game, finding his rhythm, getting comfortable with his teammates, locking down on defense, his versatility allows OG, allows Pascal, allows Serge to fit into roles. So now when you start Lowry, you can bring in Van Vliet off the bench and be one of the best backup point guards in the game. So it really stabilized their team. It really stabilized their lineup. And for me, having this level of success, and I don't see him as a player that's going to chase the limelight or chase the quote-unquote super team or do whatever he has to do to go play with LeBron. I think he's going to truly assess the situation and decide if he feels like his future in Toronto, and I feel like he's going to do it honestly.
Speaking about playing with LeBron, Kevin Durant came out and said that environment around LeBron, I don't know if he really necessarily meant LeBron himself, but just the environment around it is toxic. What do you make of those comments? Is that throwing shade.
Take from those comments, open mouth, insert foot. Okay. Here's what happens. Like, while Kevin Durant has proven to be one of the best basketball players in the world and a talented scorer, he's also proven to be really sensitive, really emotional about critics. He's a player that created burner accounts to defend himself. He's a guy that took a lot of criticism when he joined the Golden State Warriors, a team that just knocked him out of the playoffs. But he's also a guy, in particular, early in his career, that actually trained with LeBron James. So now when you come out to make a statement like this, whether you believe that to be fact or not, to me, what he's really trying to do is poison the well so other top players won't go play with LeBron. Because I've already came out and said, I believe that this is his final season in Golden State anyway. Don't be surprised if he ends up in New York playing with the Knicks. So I took this as, I don't really want Kawhi. I don't really want Anthony Davis to go play with LeBron in L.A. You know, you don't want those problems. You don't want to deal with the media scrutiny that comes with playing with LeBron James. Well, also the flip side of that is, if LeBron's getting that media scrutiny, guess what? The rest of the team isn't. So I looked at it as though he was almost like poisoning the well to try to discourage players from joining LeBron, the exact same thing he did when he joined the Golden State Warriors.
Why is it ending, though, in Golden State? Is it just too many big personalities and it's finally come to an end? They'll probably win their three-peat and that's just it. Thank you. I want to go somewhere else and do it. Because if I'm a player of that caliber, I'm thinking, let's be the greatest dynasty of all time and just continue to rack up wins and championships. Why does that end?
Because what happens is players talk about winning championships, but most people want to win on their own terms. And so in this case, I looked at KD joining the Warriors as somebody that was reverse engineering their legacy and or their dynasty. He didn't want to be the player that led the league in scoring and had all of these individual accolades that possibly won a single championship, if not one at all. So now you go create a super team, you win a couple of championships. Now all of a sudden, nobody can question that you were able to win it all. So now you go somewhere like the Knicks, and you try to prove that now you can go be an elite, one of the greatest players of all time, and put up big time numbers because you already have three championships that people can't question. So I think that's more of the thought process in here. I agree with you. If I was in that situation, I would find a way to keep it because it clearly was good before he got there, which is why he joined it. But when he and Draymond Green had their altercation during a timeout in Chicago, it kind of highlighted what a lot of people on the inside of the league knew. Bob Myers did this as well when they were celebrating their first championship, how basically KD was along for the ride or he joined the team after it was already successful. And these are some of the things that Draymond allegedly said when they were in the huddle. So now he's going to be out to not only prove things to the fans and the media and other players in the league, but he's also going to be out to prove things to his former Golden State Warrior teammates.
Two finals MVPs, though. How's that along for the ride? I don't get that.
Well, they might have won it anyway, though, I guess.
No,
I think
MVP
they would have, right?
MVP.
But, yeah, no question, man. He's a stud. Wrap Sixers tonight. We can't wait for it. It was great catching up with you, Jalen. Best of luck with ESPN and everything you're doing down there, and we'll have to get you back on down the road. Thanks for doing this.
Yes, again. Yes, indeed. I appreciate the love. And I have to say one thing about the how's that along for the ride. I agree with you. Like, I agree with that premise, but that's not the reality. The reality of it is the Golden State Warriors were a championship-level team with a unanimous MVP in Steph Curry and won 73 games before he got there. So he joined that situation. He didn't go turn around the Phoenix Suns.
Let's spice this up, man. I got to see where Durant ends up. I hope he goes to the Knicks, because then the Raptors can just lay waste to him for the next 4 or 5 years. That's a lock. Lock that in.
See.
Great stuff, Jalen. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you.